Not it would be you're going to make it. But he was, I'd never heard the statement, you know, you need to be seeking God's will. And I really didn't have a concept at that time. I hadn't been saved very long that God had a will for us, you know, but it is the Bible. I mean, if you know, and all of that, Jesus coming down and all that. But I set out in my heart. I started working on it. Somebody say working on it. It wasn't a one-time thing. It's been all these years, Mac, and I still do it today. But I started out and I started saying, God, I want to know your will. I want to know your will, God. I want to know your will. Well, later on, you know, and I heard a guy, he said, faith begins where the will of God is known. And I didn't know what that meant. And so I began to ponder that, you know, and I'm thinking, and then I began to find out in the Bible that faith is the victory. How precious faith was. I began to realize through the Bible, and it began to come alive to me. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, by God's Word. Not only is he talking about the written word. Not only is he talking about just the written word. Whenever you're asking God and you're seeking God for your will for your kids, for your will. I remember when Travis, he was about 5 or 6 years old. He's up in his 30s now. And I started getting concerned about his future. I started getting concerned. I hadn't been a Christian very long. But I started getting concerned about his future, you know, college and all of that coming up, you know, and all of that stuff. And so I done learned 1 Peter 5:7. I do that a lot. I 1 Peter 5:7 a lot of things a lot of times. It says, casting all your care over on the Lord. How many knows that's the word of the Lord? So when a care comes up, that's the written word. You don't have to have rhema. That's the written. Just act on it. Just act on it because it's already been given to you. Well, anyways, I cast that over on the Lord, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, I'm casting this, giving this to you. You got to learn to give things to God if you're going to make it. If you're going to make it. It's not all up to God. A lady came not too long ago, and I was preaching a sermon, And I've made the statement, I said, God is not in control of everything. That bothered the lady. The reason why it bothered the lady is because she believed some lies. So after service, she said, can I talk to you? And I said, sure you can. She said, what did you mean by that God's not in control? God is sovereign. I said, yes, ma'am. I said, God is sovereign. How many knows the Bible says for me and you to study the Scripture that we have a clear answer to give to them that ask us, right? We're not confused. I'm not confused about it. I'm not confused about faith. I'm not confused about whether you can make it or not. If you give your heart to Jesus Christ, then I am 100% beyond that confident that He will come, that He's faithful to you, that He will come through for you, that He will bring breakthrough. I'm confident. I'm 100% confident in the God that I have put my trust in, that if I get up here and endeavor and bring His Word, that He tells me that He's going to come into your life and my life, and He's going to transform it, and He's going to bring us and cause us to make it. Well, I told her, I said, okay, I said, I'm going to explain it the best way I know how to you. I said, God is sovereign. He is God. I said, He created the earth, He created the universe, He created all things. I said, but the Bible says that He give us authority on this earth. I said, He give the earth to the sons of men. I said, and the Bible says that God is bound to His Word. I said, God gave mankind choice. I said, if it was God's will, there would not one baby die, somebody kill it. There would not one person be in prison. There would not one person be living in outer darkness right now going to hell. I said, that's what I mean by that. I said, we can't believe that God is just in control of everything. I said, because that would leave me to believe that God is not a good God. I said, did I help you there? Did I explain it? I said, that's about the best way I can explain it. I said, I'm going to go on. Things that happen in your life are not the will of God either always. Right? Everything that happens in my life, is not the will of God. It's not God's will that I be sick. Right? The Bible says that we have been called to freedom. Galatians 5. Stand therewith in the freedom where Christ has already made you free. Stand, we're called to be free. We're called to be free from darkness. You're going to make it if you give your heart to Jesus. If you hadn't surrendered your life to Jesus, all of y'all that are going to get a life without Jesus, married and all that, and Jesus is not really that important to you and everything, there's no guarantee from us that you'll make it and have a good life. Because they are a real adversary. And he don't play games. He's trickery. He's mockery. I mean, he's an accuser of the brethren. And that is why we compel the lost. It's not to put religion on them. It's not so they'll be like us. No, it's because we really honestly know that there is a hell and there is a heaven. And we are going to choose to go there. I'm going there. And so we preach this word based on what Jesus said. No man comes to the Father in heaven without going through me. Hallelujah. And so therefore, and then we elders and we that has been in a little while in the Lord begin to realize that a successful marriage, a real one, anybody can be married. But a successful marriage is putting Jesus in your marriage. Letting God be involved in your thoughts. How many knows that I've been called to stand in the liberty? Every one of us have been called to stand in the liberty where Christ Jesus has made us free. That's a calling. We're called to it. Mac, that's why we want free. We're called to it. We want free from our past. Right? We want free from our past. We want free from fear. We want freedom from the attacks of the enemy. We're called to it. We want freedom from sickness and disease. We're called to stand in that. We've already been redeemed from it. You're going to make it. I thought about it. I thought about times in my life. Now, I've been serving the Lord a few years and owed a lot of money at one time, and everything looked dim, but there's one thing that I have done is counted God as faithful. How many knows He's faithful? If God can't show up in my situation, it's not God's fault. I know when we get quiet here, we're learning. We're learning or, it's very good. I told a guy the day I was talking to him, and when you talk to him about Bible, he can't wait to come back about his experience. Can't wait to come back about his child. He is this. And so I stood there and I thought, well, I can't learn nothing from a prideful spirit. And so I thought, so don't be prideful. Shut your mouth and stand here and don't give out what you was going to give them. So you can be standing in the presence of somebody that has got a word from the Lord, hallelujah, but you're not humble and you won't get it. See, you're going to make it if we follow Him. And I've been thinking about the Word of God. I am big on the Word of God, big. I mean, when you get, before you even get born again, read that Bible. We did. We read the Bible, didn't understand nothing, thought we need to go to church. We're even reading in the part where God killed them and all, and that's terrible. But you know what? It didn't cause me to fear God at all. That didn't cause me to fear God. It wasn't real, Mac. It wasn't real like it is to me today. I didn't know God. I didn't know the Holy Spirit. I didn't know that the Bible was truth. I didn't know that the Bible was living, alive. I didn't know that some plants and some waters and God gives in. I didn't know none of that. I had no idea about none of that. These beautiful things that I know now that is in the Bible that I have integrated into my life. Number one is marriage. I have to cast down thoughts all the time about my marriage. I don't. We're on our honeymoon. It'll get to you. Just wait on it. Just be ready when it gets there. Just be ready when he comes and attacks you and tells you you don't need them. Right? You don't need them. You're independent. Women's lib, men's lib. How many knows God called us to forsake our father and become one? That's what's important. And then we got to live it as one. You know, when I dealt with stuff between me and Teresa about Travis, he never heard one thing that we decided that we was going to do that I can recollect, because it was none of his business. And we made a plan together through the Bible, me and Teresa, and we realized what the enemy, because we got the Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring him up, because you can't think of all the word, the 66 books of the Bible all at one time. So you need the Holy Spirit. You need to be aware of the Holy Spirit that will bring things to you in the time that you need it, will be contrary to your mind at what you think you need in the situation you need it in, and he will tell you do this, and you will do that, and it'll work, and everybody else might try it, and it won't work at all. Why? The Holy Spirit was involved. I am big on the Word. You need to read the Word. You need to meditate on the Word of God. Ponder on it day and night. He told Joshua, he said, then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success, Joshua 1:8. You need to be on the Word, in the Word, thinking the Word, bringing, you know, when something's contrary to the Word, cast a thought down to all that. But always be seeking God. Always be acknowledging God. Let me give you an example. I'm standing on the Word of God at 27 years old. I believe that God wants me to be in business for myself, and I might be 28 whenever he put me in it. I don't know. I'm 28, I think. And so I'm in that Bible a lot. You know, I'm reading it in my spare time. I'm reading it. When I'm not reading it, I'm thinking about it while I'm working, you know, because Joshua, he told Joshua to do it. And I felt that that's what he was giving me instruction. He didn't say, Scotty, I'm going to make you. I'm going to make you meditate on that day and night. He did not demand that to me. That's why I said our choices is going to determine some things what God can do, that God asks us to do. You know, God commands us to love one another. That's not optional. And God does it because that's freedom. Because me and you are, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, because lawlessness shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. You know what lawlessness means? I used to restrain myself from thinking bad thoughts about you, Johnny. I used to wouldn't sit around and hear somebody talk about you. But now you know that time has went on, lawlessness. If I begin to take those thoughts and do something, it says that my love will grow cold. See, and I know I can't love mankind without walking in the love of God, because the love of God is supernatural. I can't forgive people that in my own power that I feel that I want to kill, or you want to kill, or you can't get, without walking in the love of God, because it is not a natural love. They can kill your brother and you can forgive them. That is supernatural. But that is the liberty that we're called into, and we don't go back into bondage. Right? Okay, I'm standing on the Word of God and all of that, and I mean, I'm quoting that scripture. You ought to quote it every day. Lord, thank you, Lord. I hearken to all of your commands. Lord, I endeavor to do my best to listen to what you tell me. If you tell me to forgive, if you tell me to give, if you tell me not to give, if you tell me to love, if you tell me to do whatever, I endeavor to do it. Just have your heart set up. You're going to do the will of God. Satan wants to make it this life complicated, but it's not complicated. Jesus walks down there to Peter and them, and he says, follow me. That's all he said. Follow me. Well, they left their jobs, and they had issues to deal with like we do. When God says, follow me. See, follow me don't mean, you know, quit your job necessarily, but if God tells you to move to Minnesota and start a ministry, then you lay it all down. You be willing to surrender to Him, and everybody around you can be saying, that's stupid, man. What you gonna do? You built a life, you know. You got to do, if you know it's God, you really believe it's God, then you surrender to Him and you tell Him just like Peter and them did, yes, Lord, I'm following you. Hallelujah. That'll be the best life you ever had. I mean, that'll be the best life that you ever had. Well, I'm quoting Deuteronomy, I'm blessed going in, blessed going out. I done memorized it where I didn't even have to go to the Bible. I can quote it, still can quote it to you today, 30 years later. You know, whatever it is. If I will hearken at what that says to Scotty, if you will hearken to the voice of the Lord your God to do everything that He commands you to do, all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. He didn't say I had to work 80 hours, 90 hours, three jobs, but the blessing will come on whatever I set my hands to do, the Bible says. Whatever He's telling me to do, that's the will of God. That's what His blessing and His anointing is going to be on. Whatever He's telling you to do, whatever He's telling me to do and be. Well, you know, I'm quoting that, and I come down here one morning, and I'm praying before everybody gets here, and I'm saying, I'm telling the Lord, I'm saying, I'm blessed going in. Now I'm thinking this is going to come on my business, our business. I was using the scripture thinking this is going to happen to the business. I'll be blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in the city. Well, one day, I mean, we didn't have no doors, no nothing, you know. And I come early and acknowledged God. I did know Proverbs 3. Put that up, our Beth. Proverbs 3. See, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord. That's a lot. Lean on. Trust in. Be confident in the Lord. The King James says, it says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. But I like this. Hey, whatever translation it is. Lean on, trust in, be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. Did you hear that? Don't figure your life out. Don't plan how you're going to do things and how it's going to end up. No, you acknowledge God in that. Well, you know, I'll get back to that in a second. I cast that over on Lord. Teresa was dead set on Travis going to college. I mean, she wants him to go to college. She pushed him through school. Y'all that are making below A something, there ain't nothing wrong with you, but you're not going nowhere. Hallelujah. Us parents, we're called to push them into perfection, production, productive. I tell my grandkids all the time, what's your grade? You got straight A's? All that homework, homework. Yeah, it's part of it, part of it, part of it, part of it. I encourage them, and I tell them if they are having a hard time, Mac, I tell them, God will help you. Lean not to my own understanding. I'm acknowledging God in this. I'm giving them God direction. I did it to my son. Teresa told him, "Is anybody in your class make straight A's?" Yeah, he named off the little girl. She said, "If anybody in there can do it, you can do it." And she pushed him. Well, when he got into 10th grade, he was doing 11th grade work in the 10th grade. We was believing God in Jesus' name for him. Right? We was believing God that he would go and be all that God. That's how important the Bible was to us. That we trained him up to be successful. Not to get by. Not just to let the world happen, whatever happens, happen to him, happen. We did our best at home, and I believe Jesus, I believe the Holy Spirit helped us. Yes, we put demands on him. Yes, he had to fast. Yes, he had to, I'm not talking about food, he did that later on his own. But yes, when our family fasted, we believed that we had to show Travis how to train him up. That was part of training him up to us. The Bible didn't say in there, "Let the church train your kids up, Scotty, in the way that they should go." Actually, I was in a meeting when I come on up in the church, and God had exalted me kind of what up to where it was in the business part of faith restoration there. And one of the teenage moms, she had been there longer than me, and her kids had got up teenagers, and she's in there and she's telling us, the pastor and all of us in leadership, "Y'all got to do something with my teenagers. I'm losing them to the world." And I just stood up and I said, "It's not our fault." I said, "The church is not responsible to you losing them. It's been teaching them the whole time. They've been in this church. They've been hearing the word of God. You got to go and you got to enforce what the word says over your children." Now, I thought that my sister would get mad at me, but I really wasn't thinking about it at the moment. I thought, that's untrue. Y'all can't depend on this church to train your kids up. And I mean... That don't even make logical sense. It don't say that take them to the church. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection life," but take them to the church where they can get it. Now we endeavor our best here to preach the gospel and to preach the good news and get information and make disciples. I'm not saying we don't do that. I thank God for Samantha. Buddy, you can ask them kids when they leave that service what they learn. And they'll tell you about God. That tells me that she's doing her best to impart the things of the Word of God in my babies. In my grandkids. And I would say whoever was doing it to Travis, I demanded them to teach them. Why? I'm commissioned to teach liberty. Well, Travis gets up, you know, and it's not really in his heart to go to college and all of that stuff, you know. And so Teresa's brokenhearted and, I mean, you know, discouraged. And she's really discouraged. And I told her, I said, "Well, look, there's nothing wrong with college. And I'm telling all of y'all kids, go to college. So don't go say that Scotty said you don't need college. I didn't say that. Go to college and believe God that He will open doors through if you believe God wants you to go to college. Go to college and believe God to be in there to direct your path and to open the doors that you need because you went in that path because you believed it was God. You're going to have to believe God all the way. Don't lean to your own." This is not talking to just us adults, but it is talking to all of us. See, when Jesus asked me to follow Him, I realized real quick that in order to follow Him, I'm going to have to not understand some things. I'm going to have to be okay with not feeling in control. I'm going to have to be okay with putting my trust in somebody that I can't see that He said in His Word, and trust my life with it. Now that's faith. But it's a choice. Well, you know, he got it there, and I told her, I said, "Well, look, man," I said, "you know, I said, God put me in my own business. I mean, look, man, I do pretty good, blah, blah, blah. So anyhow, she released that to the Lord. There's nowhere that he could work today to make more money than he makes. When he 12 years ago, the Lord, I couldn't understand it, and I wasn't going to do it, you know, unless I knew it was the Lord. He told me, he said, I want you to give him this part of the business. And I thought, man, I've worked a lot of years in this business. Give him that. Give, Lord, I can't really afford that. But it was the Holy Spirit. It was the Lord. I'm not telling you my story. I'm telling you as you go along and you are acknowledging God and you are willing to yield to the will of God, God is able to quicken and tell you to do things that will be contrary to what the way and plan and thoughts that you had that your life or your kids will go, but it will work. That's what will work. Well, I gave him that, and then before you know it, man, there's times he's like, he's making more money than me. And I'm like, man, this is terrible. He's making more money than me. That's not going to happen. I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, increase. Hallelujah. Then the Lord spoke to me. I'm telling you, as I began to inquire of the Lord, I said, Lord, I did what you said. Praise God. And now it's went on into, and he makes a lot of money at times, and don't have to work but 2 or 3 days a week. And then he'll put 2 days in one day and cut down a day. And then they go ride the lake or whatever. I'm not ashamed of that. I thank you, Lord, that I'm off and spend time with my family and he's following in Dad's footsteps. Am I lazy? A lot of y'all can't keep up with me. I'm not saying that arrogantly. No, sir, I'm not a lazy man. Not at all, praise God. But the Lord answered. Anyways, I'm going down through there, and I'm like blessed going in, blessed going out. And I come down here, and I'm acknowledging God, this scripture. I'm not depending on the business making me nowhere, the money or nothing like that. I'm depending on God to bless me. And you know what? I heard this. I was standing with my brother, me and him was together. He came in early that morning or later that morning. And I told him, I said, the Lord spoke to me this morning. I said, and he said, go north. It wasn't in Deuteronomy 28. But I was standing on the word, believing God that Deuteronomy 28 would happen in my business. And so then he spoke to me, he said, go north. And I told my brother, I said, that's the day that we met the biggest contractor in Gunnersville and Etowah County that got us started. And in 3 years, he knew everybody and connected us with that. There's no way, if I had a win any other day, that more than likely that would have happened. And 30 years later, I'm still working up north. My brother, he told me, he said, I'm done with that. I think it's Alitrade up there, blah, blah, blah. You want me to hook you up? And I said, nah, don't hook me up. I left there and I thought, God, if you want me hooked up, you're going to do it. I depend on you to do it, God. You're going to do it. That way it ain't on the stands of how he dealt with them. It's on the stands of how I deal with them. It's on my terms. It's on mine and your terms, God. Because when he opens doors that no man can shut, you know that you're in the right door. See, God will lead you to debt-free in your house quick. See, the problem that I have seen out of the word of faith realm, which is like us, you know, they pull things out of their hat, so to speak, that they want. And then they try to get a scripture and believe for it. God ain't said it. Right? Acknowledge him. And he'll direct. And I almost come short one time, but God is a faithful God. If your heart is really not bent and stubborn, your head can be stubborn, but you're not led by that head. Your head can be stubborn, but your heart can be humble. And when your heart is humble, your thoughts and stuff will become humble. They're trainable. You can train yourself to honor. I honor unhonorable people all the time. I had to train myself to do it. People that don't deserve honor, I can honor them. Why? Because humility is not of the head, it's of the heart. The Bible says if we humble ourselves, he will exalt us. He said if we stay humble, he will exalt us. So, stand on the Word of God. Meditate on. Now, you know, in Romans 12:5, I believe it is, it says that we are to owe no man nothing but to love him. So we know that's the will of God. So if you owe today, I understand. I've been there. I don't owe anybody anything today, but I stood on that Romans 5. See, the teenagers and all of that, they're going to get married, whether it's boy or girl one day. And if they come train their self, don't leave it all on your parents. If you want a good life that you dream about, you might be dreaming about a boyfriend or a girlfriend. But look, if you fall in love and it's God's destiny, you know, all of that's great and good. But life sets in. You got to have a house, and you got to get out of mama's car, and you got to get out of daddy's basement, and you got to quit playing all them games, and you got to become a man or a woman. The Bible says when you were a child, you acted like one. But when you become a man, this is scripture, you put away childish stuff. You begin to be sober-minded, serious-minded, focused on. And Paul told Timothy this way. He told him, he said, I charge you, he said, concerning the prophecies that have come to you, that you lay hold on them, that you war a good warfare. So, just like whenever the Lord told me to come and open this church, and I couldn't see really doing it. I mean, I'm going to do it. He said it. So I go to my pastor, you know, and I tell him, and he said, well, I'll see the evidence in your life, Brother Scotty. Kind of shocked me. Because all I'd seen is resistance out of anybody going to be in ministry around with people, you know. And I thought, oh, well, he can't stop me anyways, but I'm going to him. It's the right thing to do. Lo and behold, Mike, he believed in me. I thought, well, bless God, this thing's turning out pretty good here. So anyways, I go on, you know, and I have to go by the word of the Lord that he told me to do it because I don't have the finances. I went to open a bank, and I'm telling you, this is not my story. This is my real life here. I'm walking out, and I'm just, you know, I'm just doing what I feel like God wants me to do. That's all of us. I didn't feel like a super duper called, anointed, like some portray it. I felt like I'm just a mere man, God. That's the way you feel. I'm just a mere woman, God. That's normal. I'm just telling you that's normal. You should feel inadequate in yourself. That's why you build your confidence in Him. And you hear from Him, and you walk with Him, and your trust and confidence and reliance is in Him. Right? I'm living my dream marriage. Now, we can get closer together, spend more time together than I ought to. I'm not saying that. But God, I'm telling you, I have the victory flag in my heart and in my mind about my marriage because I know where it was at and I know what I was believing God. And I know the casting over. I know the binding Satan at times. I know all the battles that we went through over 40 years. I ain't forgot none of them battles, but all of them I'm standing with a victory flag all these years later, and I tell Satan, you could not stop us. Now look, Mac, it ain't because I'm smart. It is because I took stands towards God and believe in God, and that's a wise man will do that. A wise woman will do that. You want wisdom? I can't figure out a woman. Teresa says, I work off of one side of my brain and she works off the other one. I mean, that, to me, I'm like, why would you do that? Why don't you just put them together and work? Just work the whole brain. Well, scientists and all that. And that's how come I don't go by the wisdom this world has. This world's wisdom is foolishness. The Bible is wisdom. The Holy Spirit will lead you into wisdom. Wisdom that man don't contain. Just like I was thinking about it today. I was thinking, God, I'm not afraid to take your word to somebody that's over their eyeballs in debt and ain't got enough time to pay out their loan. I'm not afraid to take what I'm telling them. Praise God, you're going to make it and say it. And if they'll get a hold of it and say, bless God, I will come out of debt. I will have what God says. I will owe no man nothing but to love them. I will be debt free. I will make it in my marriage. I will stay married. I am called. I will finish my course. I will do what you've told me to do. I will win. See, you got to tell your that stuff to yourself because you can, because the Bible says it. I was there and I knew the Lord. I'd hunted my house for 10 years. 10 years, Johnny, honestly, I waited. That's a long time. I wore Teresa out. You know, she wouldn't ride with me anymore. I mean, in spare moments, I would hit every back road in the vicinity of my church. If you're called to a church, don't move to Florida and just think you'll find you a good church. Right? Because you think if you live closer to the beach, whatever your mind comes up with, if it's coming out of your heart, then you better go to Florida without a house. And you know what? I would keep on and on and on. And all I had was in there where he told the children of Israel, he said, you will live in houses. They had already been done. Time I got here, that had already been done. That all of it, they done went to Canaan. That word was for the Israelites. Right? But how many knows, way on down here, after they done went into promised land, God needed me to have that word and say, you'll live in the houses that you didn't build. But I had to get in there and read it. It wasn't something that I thought, I'm going to go pick out my favorite scripture. I'm just reading that story, trying to understand the kingdom, trying to figure out God's wisdom in my own personal life with a lot of struggles, a lot of concerns, a lot of still fears and doubts trying to come all the time telling me you're never going to have it. Your business never going to make it. It's not going to be successful. I had everything telling me, even in the natural, had people telling me you're going under. I ain't been under. If God says you can make it in that Bible, then you can make it if you don't quit. If you don't let doubt and unbelief. See, you can start believing your body at 40 and it having some queeks and quakes or whatever it might have. You could have been down there at 27. A long, satisfied life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Pray God. Then go in there to Jackson. Listen to all of them. All them unbelievers. How their toes ache. They ain't got this. They ain't got that. They don't know how they're... Somebody told me the other day, he said, yeah, so-and-so didn't come to the giveaway. And said, I told her, I told Telly's wife, a little sleep, a little slumber. Little fold, so shaggy, poverty comes. She said, it must be working out. We're nearly broke. He said, but really the real problem is they don't tithe. They don't believe in it. Been in church 50 years and don't tithe. And I looked at him and I said, oh, well, live out your best days. And I went right on and I told the Lord, I'm going to honor you. Your word says it, but God, and my storehouses are going to be full. You're going to increase my savings accounts because I've got one. You're going to increase my business because I manage it and I don't waste in it, God. God, when you tell me to give out of it, Lord, I sow that seed. I write that check. I give that. I'm a giver. So, Lord, you said you did the measure that I give, it would be given back to me. See, these Bible principles, you need to know with your head and let the Holy Spirit bring them alive, which gives you faith. Once the word comes to be real, there's faith there. And that faith will cause you to throw down your boat and follow Jesus. Faith comes by hearing, not only just reading, but hearing the word of God. You know? And so whenever Travis and them got married, I worried about them. God, I hope they make it. God, I hope they make it. He said, I thought you trusted me with them. See, I was worrying. I done believed for a car, and a house, and a boat, and a four-wheeler. Done spoke to the wind, the rain, didn't stop. It was in the way of the will of God. See, God told me to do that. If God tells you to speak to that tornado that James Spann's headed your way, then just get up and tell it, shut up and back up. Die. Lose your power. I watched it. I watched it happen. I had to go on like it wasn't, but God told me, get up and speak to it like Jesus did on the boat. There's the Holy Spirit. Give me that John 15 because I'm going to have to close. I think it's John 15. You need to be aware of the Holy Spirit. I have yet many things, talking to disciples. He had been teaching them and all that, and he's not yet ascended, but he's talking to the disciples. He said, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. They wasn't born again. Right? He was talking about spiritually hearing. That he'd speak in parables and they'd have to ask him. What did I say? He said, how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, is come. And he did. When Jesus ascended, he come. He said, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you. Somebody say, he'll guide me. He shall not speak of himself. He's not selfish. He's not one bit selfish about what you do or what you don't do or all of that. When he comes to me and you and he tells me to go north, God said, tell him to go north. And he tells me to go north. Now he's leading me into the truth. Truth, we got up there, and man, we were $500,000 gross and growing in little less than 3 years. I'd never seen that kind of money. Most I ever made, Mac, was $13,000 a year. That's a full year. I can't say 40 hours a day because I laid out a lot. But anyways, that's a lot of money for a year's pay. Howbeit, would he come? He will guide you into all truth, okay? The Bible says, for me and my wife are one. That's what the Bible says. I get mad one morning. We get into it one morning, Mac. This has been way back in there. I don't know how many years ago, a long time. And we get into it, and I'm mad, you know, and I'm going to work, you know, and I get down there, and Lord, he said, won't you pray for her? And I thought, I don't want to pray for her. Last thing you want to do, your flesh, I don't care who you are, when you are mad and irritated, is pray. It's never just excited me to get out and run around and do dances because God said pray, and I'm so mad I want to burn everything. You make choices then. Jesus proved it. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He went and said, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. No, he was not in the Garden of Gethsemane doing that. He was down there groaning under such pressure. The pressure was coming on him. And he said, Lord, if there's any way, let this cup pass from, but Lord, nevertheless, not my will, yours be done, Lord. He surrendered his will. That's when we pray and we're giving things to God. We're surrendering our will to him. And then joy comes. You know why I know? Because Jesus said, and I've experienced, Jesus said, for the joy that was set before me, he endured the cross, the Bible says. And then, I thought, oh, man. I thought, oh, well, might as well just do it. And so I just said, Father, I remember it just cleared the bell. I said, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. I'm the head of my household. I'd found that out, Johnny. And Lord, I have spiritual authority over my household. And I take authority over you, Satan, right now in the name of Jesus. and I bind you and I command you to loose her. I didn't say me. And then when I did that, an expectation rose up in me, and I was about at Cleveland, and I couldn't wait to get down here. There was no cell phones or nothing then, but we had a landline. It was in the 90s, maybe 95. I couldn't wait to get here to call her. So, man, I picked up the phone, and when I called her, everything was okay. We just began to talk and about things, all that, and I hung the phone up, and I thought, glory to God, it really does work. This stuff works, Lord, it really. I mean, he was making a believer out of me, Mac. I didn't know if it'd work or not. I've been going to church, and they've been telling me this stuff, and I've been reading it in the Bible, but I've never experienced Jesus. But see, he wants you to experience him and what he did and the freedom. He wants you to experience freedom from your emotions. He wants you to be in control of your emotions, how you feel, what you're going to let yourself think on. I have to cast down thoughts of this ministry all the time. He tells me all the time, you're not going to be under anointing. I can't remember one I hadn't been. I won't believe him, Matt. Why? I told the Lord this evening, I said, Lord, I said, if anything happens down there, it'll be you. Lord, I'm not the one that makes things happen. Lord, you're the one that preaches the anointed word of God. You just use my mouth, God. If anything, there's how come I'm under the anointing every time, because I am not going by how I feel. I am not going by my thoughts. I'm not going by a shy night. I have chose to walk by faith in him, my trust in him. Well, we done passed it. He said, I'll show you things. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it to you. He's talking to you. He'll talk to you about your kids, your future, your job, your finances, right? He'll tell you about it. Well, just like this, I told Teresa the other day, and you might think it's just a story, but back under in my 40s or whatever, you know, and I started thinking, you know what? My mama lived off, I seen my mama live off of $600-something a month. Now, I own my own business. I'm not cut Social Security every week. So, I'm going to pay in what I pay in every year or every quarter, whatever I choose, what I'm going to pay in. So, I told my accountant, before D, I told my accountant, I said, I'm not going to live off Social Security anyways. She said, you need to pay more in. You need to pay more in. D told me to. And I said, well, listen, I said, I'm going, she said, how you going to live? I said, I'm going to live off of on high. I told them back down yonder, I was saying that some people thought was stupid back down yonder when I'm 27, 28, getting a hold of that word and getting bold with the devil and getting bold about what I believe, not to be arrogant to people, but people ain't going to change what I believe when the Bible says that I can have a long, satisfied, and Abraham got wealthier and wealthier, and Solomon got wealthier and wealthier, and all Solomon told him, he said, you can have anything you ask me. He said, God, give me wisdom. And I asked God, God, give me wisdom to pastor this church, God, that I don't just stand up there and have a bunch of nothing. Help Travis to be the praise team that when they pray like they did in the Old Testament for Saul when David began to play, that the demons were drove back. I want it when I play that bass, Monty, that it just rings through the speakers, the anointing, and people just dirt. They're not looking at me. They ain't really hearing the bass, but there's an anointing on that bass. Even if I miss a tune, bless God, because my heart up there on that bass and this preaching right here is wanting to glorify God. Hallelujah. Glorify the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm telling him even more now, God, show us your glory. Show us your glory. What that means, Monty, me and you at 80, pray God, we gonna climb them mountains. We gonna do that ministry. We gonna be like Elisha, outrun chariots of horses. I've never been able to outrun a horse. And I imagine the gates of the city in Samson's time wasn't two little doors put together like that. He come out up under the anointing because they honored God. They believed Jehovah Jireh. They believed that he was a provider. Just like we do. So stand in the liberty where Christ has made you free. And confusion, confusion comes from the enemy. He is the author of confusion. So if you're confused, go to that Bible. Don't call up your sister and your brother and your aunt and your uncle and whatever. Go to that Bible and pray and say, God, reveal to me in the Word, Lord, that Satan is the author of confusion and I bind it in the name of Jesus. And God, I bring these thoughts and Lord, take your Word, God, and reveal to me. Write it in my heart. Renew my mind. Ask Him. I told Travis one time, he got up, fixing to get out of our house and all that. And I told him, my son, I said, you know, you've been living off my anointing for all these years. I said, you've been living off of my anointing. Well, he was in my house. He was under my covering. I told him, I said, but there will come a time when you got to have your anointing from the Lord. Each one of us individually needs to know the Lord for ourselves. And seek Him for ourself. And because nobody, I mean, y'all could all come together and y'all could all tell me your problems. And I could say, well, look, come back next month. Let me figure all this mess out. Or I could give you mine. And you could say, good Lord, I don't know if I need to make it back to church, all the stuff you're in. That depressed me. But you can take that to God and one move of His finger in your circumstance, because you are acknowledging Him, can do more in 1 second than a whole body of believers can do in years. God knows how to go down into the root of matters into our life. It might look like a toothache, but it might be a back nerve. And they can pull all your tooth and still one of them's hurting, you ain't got one. But He can go down there and touch that nerve and you can keep all your teeth. Right? What I'm saying, that's how awesome our God is. And you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You stay after God. And if you're listening, I know Wednesday night and church and different things, find you a good Bible-based church. We're all over the world if y'all don't know it. Find you a good Bible-based church. Believe God to help you over the ailments that would cause you not to assemble. Believe Him. Believe Him to do miracles for you. Believe Him to heal your body. Believe Him to bring your finances in check. If things is in the way of doing that, believe Him. He won't destroy you. Believe Him to make a way that you can follow the desires of your heart. The Bible says, delight yourself in Him and He will give you the desires. Commit your ways to Him. See, a lot of times people don't go because they don't release their faith and where God can move things out of their way. Hallelujah. And I'm going to close with this. Reminds me of the woman when they carried the man up and tore the roof off and put him down to Jesus. The Bible says that He saw their faith. We heard the story about Nita, you know, turn of events, and she ain't got a dime. We heard some tests, we heard some challenges going on, but when I heard that one, I thought, that's a real challenge. Well, she come to church, didn't have enough gas to get here and back, her gas hand just barely up, and she said, I'm going. I'm not quitting. She decided to get debt free and didn't make some moves to God and made some moves and things got worse ever since then. Real bad. Things has got real bad for her. Terrible. Ever since she did that, God began to move for her. Things has got really, really bad in the natural. And I want to run to her. And God said, don't run to her. I am her God. I am her deliverer. I am her Jehovah Jireh. I'm going to show her that I'm God. Well, she stands back there and she said, "I'm not going to quit." What she meant is, I'm not going to quit believing him. No matter what it looks like, she's a baby Christian. She's a baby. I'm not going to quit. Come out of my spirit, but God, I thought you don't put God first. You don't put God first like that and then him not come through for you. I guarantee you. She went home with a full tank. People just started carrying her money. Thank God she left here, and I told her later on, not that day, I told her, I said, "It's a good thing you went to church." Woo! I said, you'd have been, and she said, once she started the church, she said her gas hand went up onto a quarter of a tank and didn't move all the way. That's what she said. We all heard it. It went up on a quarter tank and it didn't move. Then she left here, Mac. She come to church. She following God. This church really didn't do it. I told her, I said, God moved on those people. Well, I was telling somebody the story and they said, "Well, man, you could have took up an all." I said, "You're missing it. You're missing the whole deal. I don't need to take up an offering." I said, "I could have took up an offering and messed up her offering." I said, "I might have took up an offering and got $20. I said, "But when God moves on people because you're or they or y'all are believing God, then he does it abundantly above." Beth, she needs to testify, but I don't know why she ain't done it. Got medicine for migraine headaches. Doctor prescribed medicine for migraine headaches. She heard this man named Kenneth Hagin. She listened to a sermon I sent Travis and them to listen to. I guess it was. Anyway, it don't matter. Well, he said in that, and it didn't mean nothing to me. But it's when he's going through there, he said, "I ain't had a headache in 30 years. He said, "I've had opportunities." He said, "When they come, I just tell them no. Not coming here. No." Beth listened to the sermon. How's faith come? And by the word, right? Every time she starts to have a headache, she said, "No. Not coming here." She still having them? No. They try to come. Yeah, but she don't have them. She don't have them. You have that kind of authority over things. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, Beth, you're going to testify one Sunday morning when the church is full. Instead of a few here. Praise God. So I want to encourage you. You're going to make it. You might have been afflicted a long time, but we've seen them in the Bible. We've seen them in the Bible. When they come to Jesus, they got healed. We've seen them in the Bible before Jesus come on the scene at the Bethesda pool. We've seen them depending on somebody to put them in there, and here come Jesus. How many knows he's come into our life? We're not waiting on him. He's here in our life. He's in us. Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing is on the inside of me and you. And we listen to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will give us direction, and we will do what he says, just like they did with Jesus, and it happens. So I'm believing that you develop a relationship. You don't worship him. He's bringing to you what God is saying. That's his job. And whatever he's saying in your, that's why you inquire of the Lord. You pray about your kid. You pray about your situation. You take them to the Lord and you say, "I hear you, Lord. I may not hear you yet, God, but your sheep hear your voice, and I'm going to depend on you," and he will quicken you and give you things. Hallelujah. Praise God. That'll take you. Listen, we're coming up on a glorious church, and you're in it. That hears God. That God flows to and through, and our light shines, and the world says, "We got to go to God." These people's got something. These people's got a hold of something we got to have. This is the only hope we have. We are the church. Jesus is the only hope, but we're the light of this world. Praise God. Let's bow our heads.